broadcasting worldwide.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. I am yours truly, Matt Sorensen, here bringing you the Thanksgiving special of the Refresh Your Wealth Show. We want to be an integral part of your holiday season, and we're going to be bringing you one every year on Thanksgiving because, you know, we're the hardest working guys on radio, and you know, the information we have today, we're going to take a little bit of different tact today. We're going to give you some tips that are going to apply to maybe being thankful, and we're going to try and make some business and tax comments related to this Thanksgiving season. I'm excited for the topic today, Mark. I mean, we'll watch a little college football, you know, maybe some NFL, maybe squeeze in some podcasts to refresh your wealth.
There you go. And I mean, for those of you that are just finished Thanksgiving dinner, this is a Thursday afternoon show, and we're excited about that. Now, we did pre-record, but we are broadcasting here on Thanksgiving, where a lot of other people, they're not doing that. We're doing it. We're doing it for you. And if some of you are laying on the couch comatose and you're looking for just something that might wake you up and get you back on your feet, you can listen to the show. We'll get you fired up.
Yeah, this is the Thanksgiving. Good. This is this Thanksgiving refreshment to quench your thirst. So,
boy, we're reaching hard. Oh, man. Now, today's topic, everybody, I think you're going to love this. We've got a lot of twists here. It's about some tips on thankfulness and tax strategies before year end and giving and all that good stuff. But we're also primarily talking about building your board of directors, your board of advisors, that support structure around you that's going to help you succeed as a business owner. And we get that question a lot when we're designing our entities for clients around the country every day, helping set up LLCs and corps and telling, you know, talking through which is a good entity and a bad entity. The conversation always comes to, well, who do I put on my board of directors? What do they do? Why do I need it? Well, folks, this is your chance to take advantage of that tax deduction still today. If you're listening to the show and the family has not loaded up in their family truckster yet to leave town, you want to get them around the table and have a board of directors meeting tonight on Thanksgiving weekend. Make it happen.
Yeah. It's huge. And when you say family, you mean family / board of directors.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Some of you want nothing to do with family. But for those of you that want to get some sort of tax benefit of having your family hang out in your house and take over your guest room and the bathroom, let's get a tax write-off in it. And let's, you know, get them involved in the board. It's good
stuff.
Yeah.
Now, and we're going to be talking about, you may be thinking board of directors, that's for corporations, and you're right. But we're going to talk about board of advisors for those of you with LLCs. So this is something everyone's going to want to listen in. We'll have some great tips on how to use those to really benefit your company. As Mark said, maximize some tax write-offs. But before we get into that big topic, that's going to be the main primary topic today. We will always want to share some quick and fast tax and legal tips to improve your life. And this time I'm going to give a legal tip about giving thanks. And so let's jump into Matt Sorensen's thankful legal tip of the day.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Well, what way to give thanks to the world? What better way than to set up a nonprofit?
Ooh, good tip, Matt. I like this. I didn't know where you were going today, so this is good. A nonprofit, my own little private foundation, huh?
Yeah, that's right. So you can have your own little nonprofit or big one, you know, dream big. And I want to just go over a couple of quick tips on when to use it, what you're going to need to set it up, and also give a little comment about how they don't work, because I think there's a little bit of misconception about it. So, all right. Now, when we think of a nonprofit, I mean, you know, we come across these in our lives. They could be a university, a church, you know, a cancer foundation. There's so many different major nonprofits we all may participate. When we think of those, big nonprofits, you can also think of what things do I really care about and want to make a difference in, and how can I create a nonprofit to put in my own effort, my own money in a tax-deductible manner, and attract others to contribute and get tax deductions for it. And so, we're not doing this for tax deductions necessarily. That's a perk, okay?
Yeah.
But we're trying to make a difference in something we really care about and are passionate about. And we've had a lot of clients go down this road, and we love helping clients go down that road. It's a serious venture. It's something, you really got to commit to and put some time and effort into. You're going to put some money into it. It takes, it's going to take someone to get it off the ground to really be effective in having a nonprofit. But Mark, there's some documents that are involved when we set up a nonprofit.
Yeah, I love this whole strategy, because a lot of people do want to give back and leave a legacy and have their family involved in their own little family foundation. It's very common. But the application process is can take a good 6 months. You want to make sure you get with someone that knows what we're doing. We're always working on a nonprofit. There's a 1023 application or a 1024. You've got to set up a company to go with it, get EIN numbers, get a bank account going, set up a board of directors. So all those pieces and parts there. We charge around $3,000. Be careful if you're out there in the workplace and see fees for a nonprofit that push $4,000 or $5,000 or more. I think that is a little high. It can be done very affordably, but it is still a lot of work. So I think $3,000 is a competitive price we've come up with. But just giving that as a price point, so when you're out shopping.
Yeah. So, and I think there's really two main parts, and we see a lot of clients get the step one, which is the easy one. They'll go online, or they'll have someone set up their nonprofit articles of incorporation with the state, and they get this document stamped from the state, and they think, I've got a nonprofit corporation. No, you really don't.
No.
The main part of a nonprofit is you need nonprofit tax status. The nonprofit tax status comes from the IRS. And when you get the nonprofit tax status from the IRS, generally most states are going to recognize that federal nonprofit tax. So the federal nonprofit tax status is really the driver, and that's the big document. Mark said, usually Form 1024 or 1023 that you file with the IRS. Now, 6 months would be a record time frame, but I've seen like 9 months to a year. I think was the last one I did, is around that time period. But the nonprofit section of the IRS has been gutted because of recent scandals that we've all heard in the news. So they're not necessarily super efficient at getting those through right now. But those are the things you're going to need to do, is file articles with the state. But the nonprofit application is the critical one, and this is a very tricky application to get right. So you do want to seek some professional guidance when doing that.
Great tip, Matt. I got to hand it to you. I think that's a good one to bring out during the fall gift giving season, is to think about your long-term plans with a nonprofit. So love it. Now, without any further ado, let me throw down the Mark Kohler Thanksgiving tax tip for the week, if I could.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for putting up with our little fun audio antics there to get you excited about a tax tip here, something that sounds a little refreshing. Okay, so here's my tax tip. We're staying on the gift-giving theme. So I wanted to give a little tax tip here about giving or tithing, as some of you may do here at the end of the year, tithing with your church, is giving appreciated stock or appreciated property. This is a great opportunity to, rather than take cash and give to charity, why not, now here's the tip, you guys are going to love this, sell the stock that I may have just languishing there, it's got appreciation in it and some taxable gain, give the stock to the charity, take a tax deduction for the fair market value, pay zero tax on that gift, get a tax deduction for the fair market value of that stock, then take the same cash I was going to give to charity and rebuy the stock at that higher value. So now what I've done is I've stepped up the basis on my stock. I still own the stock, but I've harvested the gains, if you will, tax-free, and donated them to a charity and got a write-off all at the same time. And you might even feel better about yourself here, too, because you've made the world a little better place and also got a tax bonus to boot. Kind of fun, huh, Matt? Huh? What do you think?
Yeah, I love that. That's a great tip, and it's one that I think a lot of people overlook.
Yeah, it's one that a lot of people forget to take time to think outside the box when they're gifting. And I just want to, you know, encourage all of you. And when you're, again, thinking about those final gifts during the year, review your asset structure. See if you have appreciated property or appreciated stock. And it could be the perfect strategy to give a gift and also get a tax break at the same time. All right, folks, we're going to be right back with more of Refresh Your Wealth right after the break.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Thanks for being with us today. I want to remind everybody, there's a lot of ways you can listen to our show. You can find us on biztalkradio.com via the BizTalk Radio app. You can also find us on iTunes under Refresh Your Wealth Podcast on iTunes, or go to refreshyourwealth.com. We're just out there, folks. We want you to find us and listen to us in any way that's convenient for you. But we're talking today about building a board of directors, having a board of advisors, and we're also giving you some tax and legal tips and trying to also get your mind thinking about other ways to save. We're going to come back on some questions that we've had from the past week.
Yeah, and Matt, we had an important comment from one of our listeners this past week about a show correction, and I'm still a little concerned. I emailed Matt in advance, and I said, I don't know if we corrected this on the prior show, but since it is Thanksgiving and Christmas time, we want to make sure we get our Christmas vacation quotes accurate. And so I may have referred to Uncle Eddie and his wife. Oh, my gosh, I just forgot her name at the moment.
Catherine.
Catherine, yeah. Uncle Eddie, yeah. And Catherine. What Catherine, we thought, was actually a wife. I mean, a sister, and not a cousin. And I was wrong. They were cousins. And so this is an important trivia. Yeah, this is an important
trivia. So I was right?
Yes, all along.
Oh, I
know.
So he is Uncle Eddie?
Yeah, well,
technically, or like second cousin Eddie or something.
Yeah, it's really hard. I thought it was Uncle Eddie and she was the sister, but no, it's a cousin. You know, that's IMDb for you. So you got to go to IMDb to check this stuff out. And yeah. I just don't want to let our listeners down. I mean, if we're going to do a show, we got to be accurate when we're going to quote Christmas Vacation. I mean, Fletch quotes, mind you, as well. Chevy Chase, we're your fan. You know, we ought to see if Chevy had come on the show sometime. That would be
honor. He's been a longtime friend of mine. I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, there you go. Send him a text right now.
we're going sledding in a week or so. So I've got my newest saucer filled out. Hopefully he brings his secret, you know, the little secret sauce he's got to put under the sled. Get you going fast.
Matt, that was a really good, that just came out of nowhere. I'm so proud of you. That was really good. Yeah.
It's because I blew up the first segment, you know, you're just like, oh, maybe he doesn't suck at this.
Yeah. Oh, no, I hear you. Great comment. Okay, well, now, for those that are regular listeners to the show, we have our questions of the week, and we want to make sure that we reward those that participate in the show and get your juices flowing. We have a winner this week that won a copy of one of our books. Matt, tell us this question and who this winner was.
All right, so the question from last week was, when is the enrollment period deadline for Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, you know, as you're enrolling into health insurance? And the answer is January 31st, 2016. Salaji wrote in with the correct answer out of the great state of Arizona, of course. And Salaji, I'm going to email you back. You got the right answer. I know you're going to want a copy of my book, so I'll plan on signing it and sending it your way. If for whatever reason you want Mark's book, you know, that's fine too. I'll sign it also.
Yeah. Salaji, choose wisely, my friend. Choose wisely, because this book could impact your life in a mediocre way or a very positive way. I just want to throw that out. Now, but this is a great question because, folks, this is now the time of year where we've got to take our health care seriously and look at our health savings account strategy, flexible spending account, health reimbursement arrangement. There is a lot to think about. So please stay on top of our podcasts and the blog articles so as we continue to talk about health care. So the deadline is January 31st. So make sure you get done.
Yeah, and I want to say a couple other things on that for other deadlines to think about. If you want health insurance to be effective on January 1st, though, you better get your butt in gear now. And, you know, we might have to edit that out. Sorry about that.
little Howard Stern.
Yeah, that's they say it on ESPN radio, so it's cool. but you've got until December 15th to get coverage effective on January 1st. So even though the deadline for purposes of tax and penalty is January 31st, the insurance companies and the deadline to get coverage effective January 1st is actually December 15th. That's like 2.5 weeks away. So you better start shopping. Go to healthcare.gov or CoverageCA if you're in California. You know, you want to start shopping these programs during this enrollment period. Really critical. Get on the ball. The penalties are real. For this year, it's on for real. The IRS really cares. Obama's already been reelected. All those senators and congressmen got reelected. Now they're all like, all right, let's start penalizing them.
Yeah, it's brutal. And one side note, for those that want to really dive into the topic, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'll throw out a shameless plug, is last Wednesday, I recorded an hour and a half continuing education webinar for our listeners. It's a little webinar, costs like $20, but it's an hour and a half where I dove in depth on my computer screen into what we better like to call Kohler care, a very powerful strategy on how to save on healthcare. And that hour and a half, I go through all the states and their links for the different exchanges and, you know, all the different options and strategies. So if you want to look into that, head to our website and get over there and enroll in the that webinar. You can get it. It was recorded, so you can access it. Now, the question this week, Matt, can I throw down? We're going to stay on the gifting theme, if that's all right.
Oh, love it. It's the season. Tis the season.
Okay. Now, folks, this is going to affect almost every one of you. So you want to know the answer to this. This is really, really important. Now, I know many of you in the next 6 weeks, as you kind of gear up for Christmas, you're going to feel a little guilty of that extra crap in your closet, laying around in the basement, around the house, and you're going to go, I got to take a load down to Goodwill, Salvation Army, Desert Industry, somewhere. You're going to just take this stuff and go donate it. So you're going to pull up in your car, and you're going to just want to throw out the bags and drive away. But here's my question, my fine friends. At what dollar amount do you need to ask for a receipt before you speed off after dropping off all those clothing items? Now, there's some extra rules, you know, over $500, what form do you file, and all these different things. But there's a certain dollar amount that if you're going to drop off household goods and clothing to Salvation Army, you need to have a receipt. At what dollar amount do you need to make sure you do not pull away too quickly and get that receipt?
Yeah. And I love that because when you go by, they always ask you, do you want a receipt for this? You know, and it's kind of like,
tempt you.
Yeah. You're like, nah, I'm good. And then you're like, oh, crap, I should have got a receipt for that. It's like they give me the receipt at the McDonald's drive through. It's like, do you want your receipt? No, I don't want my receipt.
Why would I want that?
$2. No, I do not want that.
I don't want to remember a half hour later that I actually ate McDonald's.
Exactly. There will be no evidence of this. I pay with cash. There's no trace.
just to add insult to injury, folks. I mean, it's bad enough I had to go through the drive through and look at you and order McDonald's, but don't give me a receipt.
That also applies. It also applies to Arby's and Del Taco.
The triple threat. Yeah, do not take the receipt. Family member may discover it. But back to Salvation Army, there is an important opportunity there. And your accountant's going to ask you for those receipts. So, folks, make sure you're gathering that information. And what a fun time of year. And, you know, as we wrap up kind of this gifting portion before we go to our next break, I just want to challenge all of you that there are a lot of people out there in need this time of year, and it's such a wonderful opportunity to worry more about giving than it is receiving. And it's sometimes nice to hear that little reminder, and I just want to tell you thank you for listening to the show, and hopefully you have a wonderful holiday season giving. So we're going to be right back after the break and drop in on that board of directors topic. Come right back.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. We're talking and we're going to get into the board of directors and board of advisors. Now, I want to let you know this has a little special place in the hearts of Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen because we will have our board of directors meeting. Mark and I, whenever I come to town in Southern California with Mark, he picks me up at the airport. There's two surfboards in the back of the Jeep. We go right to the beach. We get on the surfboards and we have our board of directors meeting.
Our board meeting.
Which, board meeting. Well,
there we go.
Board of advisors, yeah. Board of directors.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. And I know that sounds a little cheesy, but it is true, folks, that, okay, now let's just dive into the tips here. And we're talking technically how you do this. But since Matt opened that can of worms, which I love, let's, first of all, I want to expand all of your minds right here. This, what Matt just brought up, is a perfect point. Folks, we're going to talk about why and how you document it. But let me just talk about this wonderful ancillary benefit of using that board of directors meeting as a tax deductible strategy when you travel. Make sure that you have those close family members, friends, partners. Matt and I are partners in business. That's great. But your spouse, your significant others, your parents. Get those people involved, and when you do travel, take some notes, talk about your business, and then document that on this trip, we covered those sorts of things. And literally, that trip that Matt came out to California, and we went down, and we got Pedro's after and had a burrito, that was tax deductible. Bam! Good stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And honestly, what do Mark and I do when we get together alone like that? We talk about business. It's 9/10 business, 1/10 football or something else, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
it used to be
like the rest of the workday.
Yeah, it used to be 20% football until the Utes lost again last weekend. So, you know, yeah. Falling from graces. Ranked third in the nation at one point this season. Anyway, I don't even want to bring it up. Now, Matt, I'm going to just throw this out. So, folks, first of all, again, you want to be traveling and taking deductions with these people. But this is a great opportunity to get their support and help. Guys, it is lonely being an entrepreneur. It can be really feel isolating. And you want to reach out to those people and get them involved in your business. I don't know what I'd do without Matt. Seriously, we sit down and Matt compliments my ideas. I come up, compliment his. And and it just is so important to get that feedback from someone.
Yeah, and I think... if you're sitting there right now and you're thinking, man, I set up my company and I didn't do a board of directors, or even I'm setting it up right now and I can't think of the right people, you can create this board of directors or board of advisors whenever you want. You didn't, just because you set up the company already doesn't mean you missed the opportunity. Okay. On an annual basis, you're going to be doing minutes. Create a board of directors the next time you do your minutes. Create one now. It just takes a simple document signed by the owner of the business, adopting the board. And that's the key point. That's the first legal point I want to make about this. Who picks the board of directors? The shareholders of the company pick the board of directors, and those board of directors then serve at the pleasure of the shareholders of the business.
Yeah, and let's get a technical term out of the way right here. When we say, Matt, if you're okay with this, let me set a standard here for the rest of this conversation. When we say board of directors, I want to suggest we're also referring to board of advisors. Now, if you have an LLC, or not even an LLC, you're just out there going for it as a sole proprietor, fine. Pull out a piece of paper at the top, write board of advisors, and say, I hereby call a meeting, and it's Thanksgiving afternoon, and you're going to pull the family around the table and say, we're going to play Monopoly in about 10 minutes. I want to talk about my business, maybe hopefully talk about your business more than 10 minutes, but say, get everybody get around the table, okay. And then you're going to say, board of advisors, here's who was present, and then start taking notes. What can I do better with sales? What do you guys think of my product? What should I be buying or what should I be selling? Should I be hiring new employees? What should I do about my business location? Get their feedback, get their feelings, and then say, you guys are all on board. They say yes, they all sign it, done. Now that board of advisors is the same thing as a board of directors. So for the rest of the conversation, Matt, I think people should know when we say board of directors, it really means either one. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I like that. And I think also keep in mind, you can always remove someone from the board of directors. As the owner of the business, you can remove someone. So, for example, if you're playing Monopoly and your brother-in-law, Terrence, buys Connecticut Avenue, and you're like, this guy knows nothing about business. He's buying Connecticut Avenue. You know, I got to get him off my board. You know, that's okay. That's you right. have that power.
Yeah, those only the kids buy those. You know, they're going to Baltic Avenue. Okay, here, kids, you can buy Baltic. Stay away from New York. Yeah, yeah. St. James, stay away. Yeah, that's a bad idea. Yeah.
For sure. So,
yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, Matt, that's a good idea. You could have the Monopoly game as kind of a little evaluator or tester to see how your board members
– Yeah, all right. You're in, you're respond. Out. You know, maybe it's risk. Maybe it's the, yeah. actually the game cash flow, which probably be the best game. But, but seriously, yeah. I mean, and, you know, we're teasing about this, but, you know, we want you to just think about doing this. That's the point we're trying to make. We want you to do it. Don't be scared about it. Don't overthink it, too. A lot of people think, I don't know who to ask. Well, think of the people who you're already talking to your business about, you know, or who you should be talking to. Your family. How do I get my kids involved? Maybe your kids have no interest in your business at all. Make them. Get them involved in it. That it's a really good thing to do as a parent is to try and teach your kids, let them learn through your business experience. It'll only be better off themselves as they may be going into entrepreneurship or investing or whatever they may go into.
Oh, great comment, Matt. And we could have definitely come up with a 10-point list here because we're just rattling off so many ideas. But I've often said, just taking off with what Matt you began with kids, is if you've got teenagers or college students or even older adult family that still ask for money or need support, this is a great time to provide some training and go, hey, you want a handout? You got to start getting involved in my business. You're going to be on the board. I'm going to start teaching you how to buy a rental property. I'm going to start teaching you this and that because I'm sick of giving you fish. I need to show you how to go fishing. So sit around the table, shut up, and let's start playing cash flow. Matt, I'm glad you brought up cash flow. Cash flow is such a good game. We actually bought Cash Flow for Kids. You can get on eBay or Amazon, you know, just get out there and buy Cash Flow for Kids. And it's a great game that teaches you. If none of you ever heard of this, get it during the holidays. Play it with your family members. It's a game where you learn about how important it is to save and invest. And this year, Matt, I think you and I have been more on this kick ever in our career together, mm-hmm. where we're more financially concerned about this, and people need to be thinking about it more as a family.
Yeah, and I think just as, you know, I'm experiencing it myself with my own family and my own kids, and we see it more and more with our clients as they're maturing, and it's like, man, how do we get kids involved in the business? The board of directors is a great idea. And I know, Mark, you know, for tax purposes, I know we keep coming back to this because this is, you know, the intersection of legally creating a board of directors, what's the great business motivation to do it, why is this good for your family, and then also why is the tax reason I'm doing this? All these things intersect into doing a board of directors. They're great for your family. They're great for your business. They provide some great tax benefits, as Mark's talked about, with meetings and travel. But what about like your kids in college or things like that and getting them on the board and maybe paying them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I was just on a trip this last weekend. I did a workshop in Hawaii. Many of you saw that on the newsletter maybe. And I don't particularly like to go to Hawaii or do a workshop there. I do it for you, the listeners. I sacrifice my time and effort.
Someone's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it, you know.
Matt goes to Cleveland. Mark goes to, you know, I went to Cleveland twice last year.
Yeah. And so, you know, it comes up, and Matt
I went to Newark last year, too. I do love these places, you know, don't get me wrong, but they're not Hawaii, okay?
yeah. So call me a giver, but I do it for you, the listener. But my daughter's over there going to a cheap college on the North Shore, and I just had a meeting with her. She's my social media director, and I took a tax write-off, not only for the trip, but to have her come back. Now, here, let's talk legally, too, Matt. You rattled off so many important reasons for a board of directors, but let's throw another one out there, asset protection. People, if you're going to set up an entity and you're going to have a corporation or an LLC, you have to respect it. And so many people think, oh, I just set up my LLC on LegalZoom and it's just, boom, it's in the drawer, I'm done. No, even with an LLC, if you get into a lawsuit, you want to show that you've been having regular meetings, regular minutes, where's my operating agreement, where is that corporate book? And having these meetings actually protects you even better in a lawsuit. So, so important.
Yeah. I mean, how many more reasons are we going to come up with here? I think we got some more, but that's a great one. And, you know, you're going to have the minutes, you're going to have the additional people on your board, and their ideas are going to be valuable to your business, but it is that check and balance, because in a lawsuit, that does become an issue. Who else is involved in this business? Is this just you? You got a lawsuit against you? Can we just get to you personally? No, look at that. I got a board of directors. We're all making decisions. Now, it's not necessary. You could be a one-man show if you have to be, but it does make your life easier if you have that asset protection issue arise to have a full board of directors participating in the business.
Yeah. And now let's hit a couple of, one more technical point before the break, and then we're going to come back with more on this, is keep in mind that when you do your board of directors, I can't think of a state where you have to actually disclose that on public record. You oftentimes have to disclose the officers, and in some states, even the owners of a company, but you don't have to disclose the board of directors. So from a privacy standpoint, you can tell your family, no one's going to know about this. It's an internal document. You put it in your corporate book. We'd like a copy of it as your company maintenance program and helping you out, but don't stress about it. Okay, well, folks, we're talking about better ways to improve your business with a board of directors, and we're going to be right back here after the break.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show, the Thanksgiving special of the Refresh Your Wealth Show. Thanks for listening in. We're talking about the board of directors, or perhaps your board of advisors for those of you with LLCs. And Mark, you were going to just chime in here. You said you want to talk about
expectations.
Expectations of those on the board.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this is a big one. Okay. Now, here's why I bring this up. Okay. What's a lot of times a challenge? Now, this is very important, very deep for you entrepreneurs out there. You know what I'm talking about. When you're an entrepreneur, no one's there looking over your shoulder. You're not clocking in the morning. Are you getting out of bed and getting into the home office, which across the hallway? There's a lot of self-motivation that's required as an entrepreneur, and it's hard. It can be really hard to stay up. All of us get depressed and a little frustrated at times. But the board can be a great motivator. The board can be a group that's going to hold you accountable. And so here's what I'm saying. When you meet with your family, maybe it's quarterly, or you're this board of directors that may be family members, is talk about the expectations of what you're trying to accomplish in your business. Say, hey, I want you to serve on my board. Let me tell you what I'm going to try to accomplish this year. I'm starting a new business, or I'm doing this and doing that. Now, you know what's going to happen? Guess what they're going to be asking you next time they see you. How are those plans coming, little Marky? How's that coming? And you're going to look like an idiot here if you haven't made some progress. And so it's a great way to feel like someone's holding you accountable, that you have to report to someone and say, how are you proceeding? Mm-hmm. And I think that really helps when you're an entrepreneur, feeling like you're on an island.
Yeah, yeah, great point. This makes me think of who to ask on your board of directors. And obviously, like you said, I mean, those people, you're going to be accountable to these people on your board. But I think a lot of people are a little shy and may think, I want to even think outside of your family. Get your family members on there. But let's think outside of your family and think of the people that you know that really have good business experience, or they're just leaders to you, and try and get them involved. See if they'd be willing to participate. If you have a close relationship with them or somehow know them, it's really a good opportunity to get them involved, and they become your cheerleader because they got a little bit of a vested interest in this, but they don't have all the responsibilities. So a lot of times, these experienced business owners are happy to do that. They've been through the trenches themselves. They want to give you this little advice and this help. They want to be on your board. And I've seen that just in my own career as I was trying one of my first jobs out of law school. I got a job at the Attorney General's office, and I knew one lawyer growing up, but this lawyer was a pretty important lawyer. He knew the Attorney General very well. So I ended up getting a job at the Attorney General's office primarily because of this one lawyer. And when I got hired, I met with the Attorney General. There's like 150 lawyers or something in that office. He doesn't meet the new attorneys. But he knew me because of this one attorney. And my boss knew that the Attorney General knew who I was. So not that I got special treatment, but it was important because I was willing to ask that person. They went out on a limb for me. And they were really committed to helping me just because they put their neck out there. Now they were a little bit vested in me and what I was doing in my career. And that, I think, is the same in your business. If you can get some people vested in it, they're going to want you.
Well, and this has happened in my – I just had a conversation with someone this week, Matt, where I had a client that said, I've got this mentor who has no business helping me, but he's kind of just – taking me under his wing. And his wife will even ask him, why are you spending time with this guy? And he's like, you know what? I see myself in him 20 years ago. And I want to help him out. And I, Matt, I really love that you brought this up, because I talk about the family and the write-offs and getting a deduction with your friend. But your brother-in-law may be a bozo, and having him on your board is not going to help out. But reaching out to some of these leaders in your community that you love and admire and may have some sort of connection with, people will go out with you for a nice steak dinner. And folks, don't be cheap. Say, hey, we're all going to go to Ruth Chris. I'm going to buy you a nice dinner, and I've got three people there, or even one or two people, and just say, I really like your advice. Take them out one-on-one. You don't have to have the board meeting with everybody in the same table. It could be a meeting one-on-one with several people, but you put them on your board and get their advice. So, so powerful. Now, the one caveat here is be careful to not set too high of expectations. You know, you set some pretty high expectations for your father-in-law when you married his daughter, and obviously you probably failed. But when you ask your father-in-law to be on your board of directors, be careful and not set too high of expectations for your business. You don't need another failure in your life. You know, let's keep it, rein it in, folks, rein it in.
Right. Yeah. Oh, those are wise words, wise words. I want to give our 5-star review. I want to read our 5-star review here. We'll come back and maybe finish off this topic. But as you guys know, we love to get 5-star reviews on iTunes. Many of our listeners find us on iTunes. Go back and listen to the prior shows. It's a great way to listen to the Refresh Your Wealth show. So I want to read a 5-star review. This was from Alist Props, and the 5-star review is titled Best Time Spent Each Week. For over 25 years, I filed my own entities, did my own taxes and accounting, and wrote my own contracts and agreements. After meeting Mark J. Kohler, I realized almost immediately that my best and only client was a fool, and the IRS had way too much of my money. I hired KQS that day. Good guys and great info. That was
Alice.
A great 5-star review.
Yeah, Alice, thanks so much. And make sure you send us a little email out so we know how to reach out to you. And we'd love to send you a copy of my book or Matt's and just give you a thank you. And folks, please take a minute. I know it seems like a little cumbersome, but when you're sitting in line or you're in that McDonald's drive-thru, open up your podcast app, click the little dot, you know, I'm going to leave a 5-star review. And just give us a little love, and we'll send you a copy of our book if we read it on there.
Yeah, it's really, you can really do it in like 10 seconds. I've done it on my phone for other podcasts I listen to that I like, and it's really fast and easy to do. And you can leave it anonymously, you know, if, you know, you feel so inclined. And I know there's some privacy, you know, clients like privacy, so you can leave that anonymously.
Yeah.
But now, let us know if you do.
Yeah, so we can send you a book. Now, one last tip that I do want to say, because this came up in a question this last week, was do the board of directors have personal liability for serving on your board? The answer is generally not, especially in a small, closely held business. But it is true that as your business grows and as they play an integral part, you may want to get some sort of liability policy for your board. A lot of nonprofits do that for their board. Generally speaking, it's not a big liability issue. It's a very private opportunity, and build this brain trust. So good stuff, and get out there.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening in on creating a board of directors, board of advisors. We want to thank you for listening to the show. We hope you find it fun and interesting. We're trying to ham up tax and legal topics, you know, to make it somewhat, you know, digestible. And I know your digestion system is working overtime this time of year, but thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Refresh Your Wealth Show.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.